We got to get refocused, the church. The church corporate, the church individually. The sanctuary corporate, the sanctuary individually. To reflect and to think back on what the Word of God is saying about the temple of the Holy Spirit. We know that if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you do not have the power. That is why the enemy likes to so circumvent and so put some misconceptions out there within the natural thoughts of men, even in some denominational areas as far as the Holy Spirit, because even the enemy, the devil, knows if these people could get hooked up to the power of, say the power, power of the Holy Spirit that comes from God above, the enemy knows that he's truly defeated. And there's times we even have to today remind him, you're a defeated foe, right? As he's bringing things upon you and adversaries and things and your days and just trials and situations in our everyday life, we've got to be strong enough to know that we've got to pull at that intestinal, I think we would call it, man calls it, intestinal fortitude. What is that? Intestinal fortitude. That's digging down where? Deep in yourself to withstand and to maintain. We've got to have spiritual intestinal fortitude. We have to have it spiritually as well. Spiritual intestinal fortitude. We got to have something deep within us. Because I'm going to tell you, the days that we're in, and they've been like that from the beginning of the foundation of time. It's not just now in 2010 or 2015 or 2019 that we're going, oh, great, boy, we're in such a terrible situation now. It's always been like that. And I'm going to tell you, even though it's always been like that, there's always been another source of power to take you past that, amen? Another source of power to build within you, to give you the ability to climb that mountain, to knock that mountain down, to change the course of that river, to go through that wall, whatever the case might be. And these are spiritual aspects of things, but it's the thinking and the knowing that I have been filled and I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we talked a little bit about that in John 16, where Jesus had said, and this is not my message of today, hallelujah. But we find it throughout John where he is sharing these things about the Holy Spirit coming, that it's advantageous that I go, that I'm going to go, and that when he comes, he's going to fill you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And so we are being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit daily. How about you? And I've got to make that indication that I want to be filled. I've got to have that inkling in my own spiritual thought that I don't want to run dry. And we want to keep going until we drop sometimes. So we've got to stop. We've got to be refreshed. We got to get back into His Word. We got to get back into His presence. We got to get back into some singing of His. We got to get back into times of prayer. We got to get back. What it is going to bring more of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's going to be by His Word and by prayer and interceding and meditating with Him. It's not going to be on any of these self-help organizations and all these things and programs that we can put together to make you feel good. If you want to feel good, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and He will bring joy into your life. Amen. Your rivers of living water will flow out of the belly of you. And thank God some of us has got some bellies. You're just going to have a mighty river. Some of us have little streams, but that's okay. Because little is much when God is in it. And so what flows out of us is going to be that of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, of God. And we're going to be touching lives around us. That's what this is all about. With the disciples, he said, go and share the good news. Go share and make disciples. We get into an idea of let's build churches by just the numbers and we'll be satisfied and we'll be successful. But it's not the numbers. It's the heart change within the people within that body. How many people in a large church are truly that of a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are missing it. Somebody would say that you got to put the train back on the tracks. You know, the train has come off the tracks. We've gotten disarrayed. We've gotten other thoughts of what it should be or shouldn't be. Or we get our sights set on something that's what we think is a good thing. And we lose sight that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit in us, whom God has given to us. And you got to realize you're not your own. Jesus, when he came upon this earth, he was not his own. He was God in the flesh. He was here on an assignment. But even Jesus, God in the flesh, he knew that he had a predestined thing to do. And all the times we would read in the Gospels and all, thinking that he's getting sidetracked with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all the religious people, and they're taking him off track, and oh, he's got to take all this time with them. It was all of a plan. It was all to change the whole concept and the whole mindset of religious order and these denominational things and these things that man puts together to make us all jump through to get us closer to God, when it does the exact opposite. You can get into all these ritualistic things and all these things that you want to do that we put together as an organizational church, and it sometimes puts you further away from where God is at, because it puts you into the direction of where man wants you to go. And God wants you to go where? Straight to him. Salvation, straight to him. Salvation through Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The forgiveness of our sins, the same blood yesterday is the same blood for today, the same blood for tomorrow. So as we walk in these things, as we find these things, it's encouraging to know, but it's also, we've got to be strong in these things to be on guard, on guard, to realize what's being taken. If someone were to come and take something out of your house or something from your family or something from your that you held high in esteem in your family unit, whether it might be, I don't know, but just think of something. If somebody would come and take that and you would not notice it for a while, or you would notice it when they took it, you would be upset. Well, the same thing is happening in our Christian circles. The same thing is happening in our individual sanctuaries, that something has come in and taken the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit didn't leave on his own. You did something that he left because of sin. And when we get convicted of that, ask for forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit will be right back there. Or it's sometimes you just, to the point of the time where the Holy Spirit, he's in your body, he's at sanctuary. Remember, we're talking about the sanctuary, our body. So the Holy Spirit is in you, but it's been so long. How long has it been since you called on the Holy Spirit? See, we don't call on him enough. We only call on him at maybe once or twice a year. Three times a year. I don't know. Are we only call upon him when we're in a tragedy and we, oh, help me now, Lord. And it's thankfully for his grace and mercy that something will come about and God will afford the help and things will be good. We trust that. But I want to look at this, how we sometimes don't call on the Holy Spirit enough, or we put him aside. And so pretty soon, just like anything else, if you weren't being used for a while in your job or here or whatever in a situation, you would think, well, I guess they don't want me anymore. I guess I'll find someplace else to go. Or I guess I'll just sit here and not really pay a whole lot of attention because they're not really using me to the best of my capability. So I'm going to go find someplace else that will use me. This is talking natural things, talents and things and giftings that God has put in you. So you end up putting an application in, going somewhere else. Why did you leave that past job? Well, they just weren't using me to my potential. They just kind of let me sit on the shelf. I want to be used. I got things in me that I want to. That's the same way, I believe, with the Holy Spirit. We put him aside sometimes in our life after everything gets going well, or we forget about him, and he's sitting there like, okay, where am I at in your life? What happened to that first relationship we had when you were filled with me and you were so excited and we moved and did so many things and I taught you and I shared with you. I got truth from God into your spirit and you were beginning to grow and bloom and develop into the things of what Christ had. And then all of a sudden, something has happened. Our relationship has gone on the lame. And so now the Holy Spirit is there, but he's not being called upon. But we got to realize that you're not your own once you receive Christ. We got to share that with people when they say the sinner's prayer and bring salvation into their life. It's like, now you do realize, or before you say this, I want you to realize this, that you are not going to be your own after this. Why is that? Because you were bought with a price. The blood of Christ, the death of Christ on the cross. And it was a high price that he paid for you. You're valuable. Well, I'm not worth anything. People tell me I'm useless. That's the enemy. That's the devil. Because you're a child of God created in his image. What you have to do is you've got to get that mindset kicked out of you. You got to be what? Born again. You got to have your spirit rise up within you, a new creation, then to begin to look at things in life like God looks at in your life. For God has many wonderful things for us. Don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. We've got to get to that mindset that I'm not my own, guys. I'm just here. Availing myself, I trust, to that of the Holy Spirit and saying, here, God, use me. As his voice, as, you know, as an example, you know, we hear that's an analogy that you're the only Bible many people will ever read. And nowadays, as Bibles get, you know, there's still a well-bought book. It's a lot being sold, but there's not a lot being read. And there's a lot of information in there a lot of this information here for people's lives is going unused. The people, they get to a point of relationship of receiving Christ, and that's wonderful, and they got salvation, and they know where they're going to spend eternity, but they're not using the fullness of the power that has been afforded to them because of ill teachings with that of the receiving that of Christ, or the power of prayer, or the power of healing, or you can have, you know, not financial wealth, but you can have financial wealth with God being your provider and meeting every one of your needs over and above these things, where he says that he opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing that you cannot contain. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we now are owned. He owns our body. He owns me. Oh, hallelujah. God, you are not your own. I am not my own. I am God's. And I got a God that opens up that heaven window, and he says, I can pour out a blessing on you, Tim, that you will not contain. Now, what will that blessing be? I don't know, but I know I've been blessed. How about you? And I can go through a litany of things and say, well, he blessed me in this, he blessed me in that, he blessed me in these areas of finances, he's blessed me in this area of my family, he's blessed me in this area of job, he's blessed me in this area of health, he's blessed me in this area of relations, he's blessed me, blessed me, blessed me. And no, I did not sneeze. That's an okay blessing to have, but I didn't get all those blessings by sneezing. I got those blessings because of learning to say, I am not my own, that I have been bought with a price. And I have got to get serious with that understanding. And the world has to get serious with that. The church has to get serious with that, to where they understand that you were bought for a purpose, and it wasn't to have you feel good. It wasn't to make a name for yourself. It wasn't to get all of these accolades or to do whatever. It's just so many things out there that we think we are doing with that. And all he is saying, just go and make disciples, go and share the good news, and he will take care of the rest. Well, maybe this does begin to go into the message for today a little bit. And I won't have a whole lot of time to even dig through this again, but it ties into, just like we've been bought with a price, we are not our own, right? Last week we began in Colossians. We got to reading Colossians 1. We got into like 1:18. And we got to that 1:18 area, and it talked about this. What? In Colossians 1:18. And he is at the head of the body, and he is the head of the body. Who is he? Jesus! Hallelujah! Is the head of the body. What's the body? The church. Jesus died for the church. Here again, we get people out there that talk about the church. Oh, the church is nothing. I can be alone with God just by myself and out in the wilderness and doing my thing. And well, you said I'm a sanctuary, tried and true. He's in me, yes. But he died for a church, a corporate church, that we come together because there's power in that corporate setting. There's that thing that we need one another. We've got a lot with the Holy Spirit, and God will minister mightily into your needs, but there's something about having a corporate body that you kind of flow into, that you come at least once or twice a week maybe, that you share something, pray with one another, encourage one another, see one another, say hi to one another. Hallelujah. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, Jesus, and all things that he may have preeminence in your life. If we would get back to that understanding in Corinthians, how it says that we are no longer our own, that we have been bought, that God has taken over our lives, we are being filled, I am a temple filled with the Holy Spirit in me. I will understand this as well in this other concept of letting God have supremacy in my life. And there's another thing. It ties right in, I guess, as I look at this, is if I don't give him that ability to have preeminence, what is that? The greatness, the superbness, the supremacy in my life, then I'm missing something. And if you don't have him as the preeminence, the superiority, the numero uno of number one of your life, you know, you're missing something. He's asked that. He is saying that's what we've got to have. That's what Colossians is all about as we begin to talk about reconciling to Christ. As we began and read in the beginning of Colossians, the heading on my one Bible here in 1:9, it begins, the preeminence of Christ. Talks about in 10 that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Stop being men pleasers and world pleasers and please God. Amen. Fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 10, Colossians 1:10. Increasing in the knowledge of God. How am I going to increase in the knowledge of God? Filled with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He will share the things that the Father has for you, just like I, as Christ, I only did or said whatever I saw the Father in heaven do. The Holy Spirit now has come. He's going to lead you now. I must go. It's an advantage to you that I go so that He can come and do what? Lead us through this life. That's why Jesus had to go in the flesh. He could only be at one place at one time. Amen. He could minister greatly to the crowds that were there, but anybody else around the country or further away, they weren't getting the benefit of that ministry. It was only those under His voice or under His care or by His touch or handling or whatever as far as prayer and healing. The Holy Spirit now comes, and now we're filled with that of the Holy Spirit, and we're filled with that, and we can go forth. And Jesus says, I'm at the right hand of God the Father, now interceding for those prayers that you pray, and now go do what I've been doing. That's why we can lay hands on people and say, Lord, not by my spirit, but by yours, heal, touch, and strengthen this person. Amen? And it's not ever, we don't even have to touch them. There's times where you can just say, heal that person, Lord. Touch their mind, renew their strength, whatever it is. And I believe by the power of God and by the Spirit that it'll go and it'll hit and make contact with whatever that person or wherever that is at as the flow of the Holy Spirit goes forth. But we've got to come to that understanding, and we've got to, I have to, you have to have God or Christ as preeminence, the first thing in your life, the superiority, the greatness, everything is Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. So as we got into this preeminence and all, it talks about how Christ was preeminence in so many things. As we look at Christ, we can look at it in that of creation. We can look at it that in reconciliation, in wisdom and knowledge, for personal observance, and also for regarding Christian living. All of those areas, Christ is first in those areas. As an example, we look at creation. So I look at Colossians 1:15, and it says this. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the image of the invisible. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. If I go back, 14:9, John 14:9 says this. He says, Jesus says to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen who? The Father. So how can we say, show us the Father? Those disciples, those people that died, they really got a good thing, because as they were seeing Jesus, they were actually looking upon that of God, because God was that of flesh. He was the visible image of God. Preeminence, the very first thing. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The image here in the Greek means He's exact representation. He's not like a copy, and you know, have you ever made copies and sometimes your copies are off a little bit, a little fuzzy, or doesn't quite have the image of just complete clarity? When we talk about this as an image, He is the image, it's talking about that He is the exact revelation and representation of that of God. Wow. In 1:16, For by him all things were what? Created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. God has created everything. Nothing out there that's around that's not been what? Created, spoken by that of God. Verse 17. Look at this. 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. God sustains. He's a sustainer. As he has created these things in this world from nature all the way to us, the created image of him, he sustains us. And for us to be sustained, I believe, it's one of those things to be in that power and that being sustained is through the power of the Holy Spirit to be working within us to give us that strength so that we can fulfill and do what he has asked us or wants us to fulfill. Oh, man, I can't believe the plan that God has for your lives. Isn't it awesome? Just sit back and think. Out of all the people in this world that's been created, everyone has a plan and a purpose for a divine purpose that God has put within you. And now you've got to figure it out. Oh, what am I going to do? What should I do? How can I do it? You get in God's Word. You get in prayer. You meditate with Him. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And you say, Lord, teach me. Show me what I'm to do. Lead me, and I will go. I tell you, anytime you make a major adjustment in your career path, it's got to be more than just going crazy to make it last, okay? But any time when God gets a hold of you by the Spirit and the trail and the path that he had me on, remember a few weeks back we talked about that, of the path that God had, a path out there that you didn't see. The path that he had for me that I didn't see, I kind of began to learn it and grow in it. But to understand these things, when God comes in and just rearranges your life tremendously, majorly, I tell you what, you're sitting there at first going, oh God, hold on. Is this really you? Is this really happening? Should I trust this or is it me? And for many, 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 many times in my thoughts, it was always me counteracting it with my own flesh, with my own thoughts, because I would listen to the philosophies and the knowledge of this world saying you're going through a midlife crisis, and that's what I'd hang my hat on, say, well, it's just a midlife crisis. I'll get through this and life will be good and we'll go on. But it just kept on, and I began to understand it wasn't a midlife crisis. It was a course correction in my life to serve him for the plan that he had for me. Totally out of left field that I had no training, understanding, desire, want, didn't want nothing to do with a church or anything of pastoring. But it's one of those things, I'm going to tell you what I do want. I want all of God. And once I got myself into that point of time where I said, okay, God, preeminence in my life, Jesus Christ, preeminence in my life, Holy Spirit, preeminence in my life, I was able to then surrender those thoughts of what, oh, you're having a midlife crisis, to I'm on your path, God, that I don't even see, but I know I'm on your path. And you said in your word through Jeremiah, plans to succeed and not fail. That if I pray, that I will hear, that you will hear my prayers, and I respond to you. So it's a you and me together, Lord. It's the same thing in your life. You and him together. It's like, okay, Lord, where are we going? Where do you want me to go? How am I going to get there? I don't know how I'm going to get there. And all that the Lord would just speak by that of the Spirit would be to me is just follow what I say today. Just do what I'm showing you now. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what if this happens and what if that happens. Because what if that doesn't happen? And you've worried all this time for nothing, you know? That's the worry of the world. The world wants to give you worries because worries build into anxieties. Anxieties into confusion. Confusions into depression. Depression into craziness. And oh my goodness, then you got 5 bottles of medication. And you're so medicated, you can't even connect to the Holy Spirit anymore because now you're medicated and you're not even in your right mind. And so we got to be cautious of those things, and we've got to be watchful, and you've got to be at least 1 or 2 steps ahead of the devil. Because the devil is chasing you as well. And he's right on your heels, and he's going to throw things at you that's going to be discouraging, that's going to cause confusion, that might cause you to doubt. when those times of doubt and confusion come, don't just keep going with doubts and confusion. Stop where you're at and go to God and pray to God and say, God, you've not given me a spirit of confusion. You've not given me a spirit of anxiety or any of these things. You've given a clarity in my thoughts and my mind if I set them upon you. And that has to take place with giving him preeminence in your life, supremacy in your life. You will still have a career. You will still do your job. You will still do a secular job. That's all well and good, but it's to have the supremacy of God in your life, because really that job is not yours anyway. It's God's. God has placed you there for a reason and a purpose. And sometimes those times that we think we're in a time of a job that's like, this is driving me crazy. I don't understand it. This is it. That it's a purpose that God has for helping you for later on, or helping those that you're there. I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that God is God. And I know that my God doesn't want me to fail. I know my God is saying, Tim, you're going to succeed. But God has a special plan for your lives. And you're going to fulfill it if you stay with him. You're going to fulfill it if you give him that preeminence in your life to where nothing else matters but him. Now, you will enjoy life. You will have blessings. God will give you just all kinds of wonderful things. It's not like, oh boy, if I get sold out for him, then everything's got to go. Well, yes, in a way it does, but it's kind of a crazy thing. Have you ever been there where I know that I got to sell out to God and the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back? But it's one of those things. You've got to get into the vein. You've got to get into his path to see that when you sell out to God and when you give him preeminence in your life, he gives you a good life to where you have blessings and a wonderful life and good things, and life is life. But it's actually much better because you're going with, I'm a sanctuary, pure and holy, filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives you that power, that intestinal spiritual fortitude, you know, to get this through life. But life in general has a lot of turns, a lot of ups and a lot of downs and a lot of darkness, and not which way do I turn? And life is full of all of those things. But once we get into the realm of God's design for our life, there's a clarity begins to open up. And if there's not a clarity that opens up to you, I can tell you this through my experiences, that all you got to do is just trust him. Trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Just trust him and obey with him. Obey that preeminence. He's the sustainer. He sustained this world. That's another thing, as I was thinking about this, as I was rereading it this past week, sustainer. I know we got a lot of things out there, and people say, oh, the world's going down. Oh, we got all this global warming. All these things are melting. All these things. Oh, we got massive floods coming, massive earthquakes, all blah, 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 all these things. God will sustain it. If it's God's plan, he'll do with whatever he wants. But for the most part, I think this is going to continue on as it is until the return of Christ. You know, it's crazy things out there in the atmosphere and the weather and all that. But, again, it's the hottest day since 1811. 1811? You mean that's a lot of time from 1811 to now that we're saying we're breaking a record that was done back in 1800s. You listen to some of the news today, you think, you know, climate change is changing like every 24 hours. Like, this thing's getting worse. This thing's getting worse. This thing's getting worse. And then they find out, well, this thing melted an eighth of an inch in the last 500 years. Wow. Now, you'd be a good steward of things. It's not wasteful and things of that nature. But I'm just saying, we get into this thing to where man thinks we're going to fix it. I tell you what, the only person who's going to fix it is God. And if it's a God thing, he's going to sustain it no matter what man does in it. It's God's plan, God's purpose, God's desire. He will sustain it to reach whatever he wants it to reach. And then when it's time to go to something else, no matter what man does, it's going to be ended. God says, this is the plan. This is my way. This is going to happen. Now let's go to this. So we can't get so wrapped up into all of these things. My goodness, if we could just get ourselves wrapped up and concerned for the things of Christ, the things of the Holy Spirit, like we get so wrapped up into thinking about it's getting so hot out that we're having global warming, if we could put all of our attention into the things of God, just think of the power that would emanate from that. Amen? Amen. I tell you, there's a climate change, all right. It's a climate change in the church where the church is losing its power. There's a thing. Write that down, somebody, and tell me on Tuesday, okay? We're worried about the climate change and the loss of power and the sun and the focus and the heat and all this stuff going on. Where's the concern in the church with all that's being taken away from the church? Well, it's all being taken away from the church because where does the power come from in the church? From the Holy Spirit. We get back to the Holy Spirit again. There's a common denominator here. It just kind of goes like this. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Oh boy. Find where you're at in that loop. Jump on that track and just stay on it. Amen. Hallelujah. So to be a sustainer in verse 117, and he is before all things, before creation, and in him all things consist. Consist means to hold or stand together. That's my God. That's who I'm serving. Is that who you're serving? If I'm serving some God that I know that is all creator and all powerful and knows everything from the beginning to the end, I don't need to be worried about the things of this world and the news and the things that are taking place and the atmospheric and weather and cultural and financial and all this, because God is my provider. He's a sustainer. He's going to take care of these things. Consist means to hold or stand together. And as much as man tries to hold up something, I'm going to tell you, when God takes his hand off of it, there ain't nothing that man can do that's going to keep it. It'll fall by the wayside like that. It's almost some of these big old towers and things that they build, you know, it's all got to be precise, and there's certain things and all this architectural and engineering and all that. But isn't it amazing? All it has to do is have one weak pin somewhere or one weak girder that wasn't quite riveted in right. And when it comes down, does just that particular area fall out of that building? No, it all comes down generally. So, you know, as God is our sustainer, as he is holding things together, just be with him and don't put your cares and worries on the things of today. 118, we already talked about that, I think. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead and all that things that in all things that he may have the preeminence. There it is, that again, a preeminence. One other area here we can look at real quick. For reconciliation, it pleases the Father, 1:19 and 20. For it pleased the Father, Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And there's certain things that have been put out there that have been put together for this whole creation and for the power of God to go through. And one of the powerful things is that of the cross, amen, and what Jesus accomplished there. But it even says here, he reconciled all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Mankind, as we know, was separated from God because of sin and had no acceptable offerings to satisfy the demands of God's holy nature. So God sent Christ to provide an acceptable sacrifice for the sin, establishing a bond with those who received him, thereby making peace. It was specifically the blood Jesus shed on the cross that sustained the demand of God's holiness, established a peace bond or a covenant with those who received him, and provided the means for all of creation to be reconciled back to God. And that's where we have the cross. See, I guess in some of this with that of our church and God's word, if we just preach nothing but probably, you know, the creation, but get in just the New Testament and just preach about the birth of Jesus Christ to come and reconcile us back to God because of the sin in the garden, and then Jesus Christ serving what he did in his time of ministry and all that he did in the three and a half years of the last part of his life of true ministry, and then going on and on the cross into the blood and into the tomb and into the empty tomb and then into the heaven and to the right hand of God the Father. If we would just preach on just three or four areas of the Bible all through the year, maybe we might understand it and get people really hooked up to God again, okay? Just to the basics of these things. What was that song out that one, I don't know what the group was saying, but it's time to get back to the basics of life. You know, we may need to get back to the basics of our Christian faith? What makes us different than this world? What solidifies our stand with God now that we were sinners, but now we're not? How did that righteousness that I have be like filthy rags, but his now it's like, you know, I'm cleansed with his righteousness? It's all these things. And so as we think about these things, we've got to realize, and that's sometimes the things of the world, the people are going through sin, is that they just hold themselves where they're at. The devil keeps them where they're at. They don't receive the message of the cross. They don't get the message that the blood cleansed their sins. They don't get an understanding that God created them and has a plan and a destiny for them for success or for good things, that the enemy has just continually bombarded their thoughts with negative and bad things. And so we have got to get to the point of, we just got to get people, you know, understanding that they too can be that sanctuary filled with the Holy Spirit. That sanctuary that God is wanting here, and how he has placed within us the power, the direction, the leading of that of the Holy Spirit. I think as we wrap up here for this time, we'll see if we go in the next few weeks about the reconciliation, about the Father. His death reconciles us. He's the source of all treasures, about knowledge and wisdom. Don't conform to the philosophies of this world. Colossians, I've just been reading on it, rereading it just last couple of weeks, and just kind of just diving into some of these things. But it's good things to read and just review a little bit. But in today, as we come to a close, just recall again 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? If we can get to that point of realizing you're not your own, things begin to change. God begins to move in a greater measure in your life. He begins to open up, you know, opportunities, or begins to take some of those scales off your eyes, maybe, to see what he has out there for you. He opens those doors of opportunity, whatever it is. But we've got to get to that point that, number one, I'm not my own. I've got to give Christ preeminence in my life over all the things that I'm doing in this world, that he, God, and the Holy Spirit, they mean more than anything in my life. Amen. My family comes after that, job after that, relations after that. I think if you find that you do that, you don't really have time for the devil, because the devil's down so far back that he's not even part of your thoughts anymore. It's just God, God, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen and amen.